Gary, years ago I saw a television movie, a movie that was put on television, but it was a big screener, about a musician, and I think it might have been about Eddie Cochran. I'm not sure, because it was Eddie in the something, and he disappeared or something, but at the end of the movie, there was a scene of him looking in a window of a store, and he was looking at his picture on television or something. Do you remember that one?
Was that Eddie and the Cruisers?
Yes, that's it. Mm-hmm. Was that Eddie Cochran, or was that something different?
I think it was a little something different, but it had a lot of the great urban myths about someone who dies, someone who comes back, and you know, and it goes into the whole mythology. But Eddie Cochran's a fascinating story. So, you know, as we talked about the bit about the Buddy Holly, the plane crash, maybe it's time to take a walk on the dark side now. Let's take a look at maybe the curse as it came about.
Because, sure.
George, as you know, there was somebody who was supposed to be on that winter dance tour, and that was Eddie Cochran. And he had debated whether making a trip with Buddy, because he and Buddy were best friends. Instead, Cochran had to play an Ed Sullivan show. So Buddy said, no, you need to do the Ed Sullivan show. It's better for your career. So when he heard about the plane crash, it really affected him. It was sort of like in that movie Final Destination, that maybe, you know, it's the idea that Cochran had felt he had cheated death.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 days after the plane crash, Eddie Cochran goes into the studio and he records a song called Three Stars. And it was a tribute to the three artists who were killed. I think the royalties were going to their families. And when Cochran sang the song, especially when he mentioned Buddy Holly, he really got choked up in the studio. And he walked in the control room and he said, if you ever release this song, I'll never do another one. So he goes to England. Now, his girlfriend was Sharon Shealy.
And how old was he at the time?
Oh, he was
Eddie.
In his 20s.
Okay.
I mean, early 20s.
They were all kids, weren't they?
All kids,
yeah.
Exactly. I mean, Buddy Holly was dead at 22.
Yeah, right.
And Sharon Shealy was, you know, when she was, I think, 17, maybe 16, she wrote a song called Poor Little Fool for Ricky Nelson. So she was an established songwriter and not even out of high school, but she was dating Eddie Cochran. And she came over to England, and Cochran had this morbid feeling that he was going to die. Matter of fact, she said that one night he woke up from a sound sleep screaming, I'm going to die, and there's not anything anyone can do about it. And while he was on his tour of England, I mean, George Harrison traveled watching him trying to cop his guitar licks, because Eddie Cochran could really play riffs. He wasn't just a rhythm player. But he even went to a fortune teller to find out when his death was going to be. So one day, he has Sharon go out and buy all these Buddy Holly records, and he sat in his hotel room and he played them one after another. And Sharon came in and she says, Eddie, you're going to have to get over this. You know, this is too much for you. You can't listen to Buddy this way.
Deep mourning, I guess.
Yeah, deep mourning and depression. And he looked at Sharon and he said, no. He said, because I'll be seeing him very soon, is what he told her.
Oh, man.
A few days later on Easter Sunday, Eddie Cochran, Sharon Shealy, Gene Vincent were going to Heathrow Airport to take a break from their tour and come back to England when the taxi had a blowout, hit a pole. Eddie Cochran was thrown out, and he was killed in a car accident.
Oh, my.
Now, the Crickets just happened, or the two of the Crickets, who in this case was Sonny Curtis and Jerry Allison, the drummer, happened to be in England, and they rushed to Bath, England, where Cochran had had his accident. He had been taken to the hospital, but still, he had died that night. So what was really strange was the Crickets happened to be there. The very last song that Eddie Cochran recorded was a song called Three Steps to Heaven, which is very ironic, and the Crickets played on that as well. So now, Eddie Cochran was dead, and he had a very close tie to Buddy Holly. And then the Crickets, when they came back, they had to have a singer, especially Alsop and Bunch, who had needed someone to replace Buddy on the winter dance party. So they took a singer whose name was Ronnie Smith. He fulfilled the obligation. But then he checked himself into a Texas State Hospital for a rehab, and he hanged himself. So he was the next victim. And then the Crickets looked for another singer, and they found this young kid. His name was David Box. He was from Texas. He sounded exactly like Buddy Holly. He did a song called Peggy Sue Got Married. And then after playing with the Crickets for a few years, he goes out on his own on a solo career. He had a regional hit with a song called Summer Girl. And then on October 23rd, 1964, he chartered a plane, and the drummer and one of the other musicians was in the plane with him. The plane crashed, killing all three of them, and he was only 22, the exact same age as Buddy Holly. The next noise that came out of Texas was Bobby Fuller. And Bobby Fuller was much more famous than David Box, because Bobby Fuller had sent a demo tape to Buddy Holly's parents. Buddy Holly's parents took the tape and they gave it to Norman Petty, who was the producer for Buddy Holly. So then Bobby Fuller, who had copied the Buddy Holly sound, went to Clovis, New Mexico, where Holly did all his recordings, recorded with Norman Petty. But then in 1963, Fuller moves his band to Hollywood and he signs with Delphi Records. And when he gets to Hollywood, he changes his style a little bit. He sort of follows the Beach Boy method. He does, he does drag racing songs like Jan and Dean, and he becomes pretty famous. But in 1965, Sonny Curtis, who was the guitarist in the Crickets, brings Bobby Fuller a song that's going to change everything. And the song was I Fought the Law.
Great song.
Great song. And see, the Crickets had recorded earlier, but it didn't go anywhere. So Bobby Fuller cuts it, and he has a monster song. So now he's really, really doing great. So he puts out an album, and the last song he ever recorded was a song called Love's Made a Fool of You, which just happened to be written by Buddy Holly. And he bought a brand new Corvette. He moved his mother to Hollywood. And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, he gets this mysterious phone call. This is sometime around July 18th, I believe, in 1966. Bobby Fuller gets out. He takes his mother's car. He drives out. She doesn't see him the rest of the day. Later that night, she hears the car come in, but no one walked out of the car. She goes out to check on her son, and she finds Bobby Fuller lying across the front seat. He had been badly beaten. His hair was matted. There was a smell of gasoline, and there was gasoline in his stomach. They call the police. He was very dead, and he'd been dead for a while. So they call the Hollywood police, and the owner of Delphi Records, Bob King, rushes to the scene. He sees the police. They look at the gas cans. He says, "What's happened here?" And the policeman turns to Bob King, and he says, "Oh, it's just another rock overdose." And there's no way that you can swallow gasoline while you're alive.
No.
So he was murdered. And this is one of the great rock and roll mysteries, is what happened to Bobby Fuller.
Sounds like somebody drove him into his mother's garage, by the way.
And this, oh, it does. And they left him there. And what happened was, the legend is that he was involved with this, I think her name was Melody, and she was also involved with a mob boss. And the song Love's Made a Fool of You is kind of doubly ironic, because if that's what he was killed for, that's what his life was taken for, that was really strange. I know that Bobby Fuller's brother, they hired a detective. Someone shot at the detective. The detective quit the case. Bobby Fuller's brother was run off the road. He goes back to Texas. So this is one story that's open still today on what happened to Bobby Fuller. But the strange thing about Bobby Fuller, he died at the age of 22, just like Buddy Holly.